Government officials first found high levels of lead and arsenic at an East Chicago, Indiana lead smelting plant in 1985. 30 years later, after countless soil samples and elevated blood lead level tests, cleanup has begun. Why did it take so long? Indiana Public Broadcasting's Nick Jansen reports this timing is actually typical for the Environmental Protection Agency.
Here, I'm showing an overhead aerial flight.
Robert Kaplan oversees the Environmental Protection Agency's work in the Midwest. He's Region 5 Administrator, and he's pointing to an aerial picture from 1949.
1949, and you've got the DuPont facility over here.
Pointing out industries that operated in the Calumet neighborhood of East Chicago.
You've got some other lead facilities over here. You've got two pre-existing neighborhoods that are in East Chicago.
Today, it's more residential. Single-family homes, there's an affordable housing complex, an elementary school. It also has dangerous levels of lead and arsenic in its soil, which, everyone agrees, came from those former industries. The EPA has a record of this dating back 30 years, when the USS Lead smelting plant closed in 1985. At that time, the EPA and USS Lead began cleaning up the former smelting plant, but not the surrounding neighborhood. Starting in 1991, the Indiana State Department of Health began testing children for elevated blood lead levels. Results weren't published until 1998, but between 1998 and 2008, the state found 275 children with elevated levels. Soil tests in the residential area, now home to an estimated 3,000 people, weren't conducted until 2003. Robert Kaplan did not oversee the EPA's work in the Midwest at that time.
I really can't speak to what happened between 1985 and 2003.
He took his current role this year after the last Region 5 administrator, Susan Hedman, stepped down during the Flint water crisis. Kaplan says once the EPA started testing in Calumet, it found some pretty extreme values.
By extreme values, I mean, for instance, we found one 45,000 ppm. We also found in the subsurface one 91,000 ppm.
These values are 100 and 200 times too high. In 2006, the EPA removed soil from 13 properties, and a cleanup plan for two-thirds of the neighborhood was finalized in 2012.
It was reminiscent of past community problems that I had been through, so I started paying attention to it.
Mark Lame is an environmental professor at Indiana University. He's also worked as an advisor to the EPA and Arizona's Department of Environmental Quality. He says this timing is actually par for the course for this type of public safety hazard, because lead in soil is harder to ingest than, for example, lead in water.
It does take a little bit to have a significant exposure and things like that. So I'm not saying that's right, but I'm saying that this was more typical.
Do you think we collectively as a country need to take a different approach to how we handle these contamination issues?
Well, of course I do. I mean, I don't think anyone would think that we're doing this as good as we can do it.
There's a lot of steps in the process. Like in 2003, when high levels of lead and arsenic were measured in the residential neighborhood, USS Lead was bankrupt, so the EPA needed to negotiate new cleanup agreements with DuPont and Atlantic Richfield, companies that also operated lead facilities in the area. Lame says the EPA has also had to deal with budget cuts. That slows things down, too. Overall, he says, the most important thing government agencies can do at the local, state, and federal levels is involve the community.
I tell my students that it's a pain in the butt to try to always work with people on the outside to come up with what's right for them. But if you don't do it, in the long run, it's going to turn around and cost you.
The EPA did reach out. In the last 30 years, it mounted public information campaigns, held public meetings, sent mailers and blood testing announcements. Many residents say they didn't get this information. But the EPA's Region 5 Administrator, Kaplan, he has a report, and he says the EPA did everything it possibly could have.
If you go through it, these are all the fact sheets that we came up with. These are all the public meetings and postcards that we sent. You're not going to reach everyone. And of course, we know that
the EPA's cleanup plan is moving along now. The agency just announced it'll pay to start cleaning up the last section of the neighborhood, at least until it can identify which companies can be held financially responsible for that contamination. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Nick Jansen.